And take your Bibles this evening and turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. I appreciate Pastor Dameron. He's my favorite preacher in the world. And when I grow up, I want to be just like him. I asked him how long tonight, and he said, you can preach as long as you want. But at 30 minutes, the band is going to start playing a new selection. It's called Locked and Loaded. At 32 minutes after the hour, a red dot will appear in your forehead. Appreciate Zachary. Zachary grew up in our church. We're very excited for him, what God has in store for him. When he was looking at a college and where he should go, we talked about different Bible colleges around the nation. And he could have gone anywhere. And he would have excelled anywhere. But I believe that this was the place for him. Pastor Dameron, I'm very thankful that there's still a place where we can send our young people and we're confident that they're going to get a God-centered, Bible-uplifting education. Let's let his family wave to us. These were the folks that were occupying the lobby, the whole family. Now there's more. There's all those people taking pictures for like 2 hours before the service. Those are the VIPs right there. They all belong to Zachary. For those of you that stepped in the middle of the pictures, you're the reason we were there for 2 hours. I thought about what it takes to be successful in college. I made a list. First one that came to mind was money. Many of you tonight would say, yeah, money's at the top of the list. My child called home. They didn't ask for prayer. They didn't ask for food. They asked for money. I thought about humility. The Bible tells us that we should have humility of spirit. I thought of meekness. The Bible tells us in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves as peradventure, God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. I thought about holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then I came up with another word, and that word is faith. Graduates, I'm here to tell you this evening that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're introduced to a man, his name is Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the Syrian of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. Jewish tradition, Jewish history tells us that it was probably Naaman that was the one who killed King Ahab in battle, that God had used him to judge the children of Israel. And he was a great man. Verse 1 tells about all his exploits. And then it ends with the phrase, but he was a leper. There was no cure for leprosy. People did not get cured. It was a terminal disease. And he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. Lepers were isolated because of their disease. Verse 2 says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And in that phrase, we find faith. This little girl, not a Bible college graduate, not a PhD, not someone who we would put up there with the theological minds of this world, but she was a girl, a young lady, that believed God. And as a result of her plea, as a result of her statement, word got back to Naaman that he could certainly be recovered of his leprosy. Went to the king. The king should have known that there was a prophet in Israel. But the king didn't know. He rent his clothes in chapter 5 and said, "Am I God that I can and cure this man of his leprosy?" And the prophet heard and sent and said, "Send him to me." Verse 8 says, "And so it was when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" Now here's a guy that would have sat shoulder to shoulder with you in your studies. But he did not know that there was a God that could cure people of leprosy. The little maid girl would not have been sitting with you. She didn't go to Bible college. She didn't get a degree. She didn't get a diploma. But she knew. But the king did not. Naaman went to the prophet. Certainly he thought that the prophet would come out to him and greet him and give him some great feed or say some magic word, but the prophet didn't even come out. Naaman was upset. He was a great man, and he expected to be treated like a great man who just happened to have leprosy. But Elisha knew that he had a greater need, and that was to be recovered of sin. And so Elisha treated him as a sinner, as a leper, who just happened to be a great man. And like so many over the years, they get upset with the preacher, or the soul winner, or the Christian, or the family member, and they walk away from the one thing, the one truth that can give them eternal life and peace with God, and that is salvation. The young people testified about it this evening. They gave verses and personal testimony about what God had done in their life. And you listen to that, and maybe you're here this evening and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're here tonight, and maybe you're a great man or great woman, and you do not like the fact that your family has treated you like a leper, because you expect to be treated like a great man who just happens to have a sin problem. I'm here to tell you this evening that you're the best friend in the world will tell you you're a leper, you're a sinner, you just need to come to Christ. They're your friend. I encourage you tonight to embrace that truth. Naaman went out and he said, "There's cleaner water. I've got to go dip 7 times in a dirty river. I import my bathing water. Are not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, are they not much better? I don't need to go dip in some. I don't have a sin problem. I'm not a dirty man. I'm a clean man. I don't need to wash and be clean." And he went away mad. I'm thankful. I know that Naaman would testify this evening that he is thankful that he said some men in his life that said, "Master, if he would have required you to do some great thing, would you not have done it?" And much more knows so now that he says, "Wash and be cleaned." And so Naaman went down to the river, not in faith. And he dipped once, and he dipped twice, and he dipped 5 times, and he dipped 7 times. And the 7th time he came up and he was clean. That's great for the person without Christ. It was a different Naaman that went back to the prophet. In verse 15, "And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel.'" We applaud Naaman for his faith. The problem is, graduates, you have faith. There's been a time when you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're about to launch out into the world and go in various places. And you expect God to do the same thing in the same way. No doubt after the service, there'll be somebody dipping themselves 7 times in the lake trying to cure their GPA. God doesn't do the same thing at the same time. You look through God's Word. I'm amazed as I look through God's Word, and I find at the very beginning, God did something different on every day. He could have done it all on one day, but He did something different every single day. He made man. And when it came time to make woman, He said, I'm going to do it different. He took of Adam's side, and He made woman. It came to Joseph. Joseph was in prison, hated of his brothers, sold into slavery, tossed into prison. And he prayed to God. We look at Joseph and we say, wasn't Joseph a great man? I'd like to be second. The second most powerful person in the world. But nobody wants to be hated by their brothers, sold into slavery, thrown into prison to do that. But God used that in Joseph's life to bring him to the place where God could use him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were men of faith. In the book of Daniel, we find Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego refused to bow. They were obedient to God's word. They believed that God was going to deliver them. Bow to the idol was the order. And they said, King, we are not careful to answer you in this manner. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, be it known this day, we will not bow to the idol that you have set up. The king was infuriated. Heat it seven times hotter. And this is the way that many Christians view what is going on in heaven. We view a God that is up in heaven going, not seven times hotter. Oh, no, 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 King. No, no, I have got to go in there. No, 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 no. No, how about one time hotter, maybe two times hotter, but not maybe six times hotter, but not seven. God wasn't panicking up in heaven. There was no panic in heaven. As a matter of fact, probably God was looking down and saying, what an idiot. That metal can't possibly stand seven times hotter. It's going to melt before they get it in. Angels, hold it together. Because I want to get in. The Bible says that the flames were so hot that it slew the men. They threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, and the flames could not touch them. They were men of faith. No panic in heaven. Daniel was a man of prayer, a man of faith. I remember when my son Daniel was going off into the ministry. We were talking about where and what he should do. He said, Dad, I want to come back and work for you. And I said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I think you need to get out from under my shadow. I think you need to go here and go there and do these things. And he said, Dad, would you work there? Would you work for that guy? And I said, no, there's no way. There's no way. That guy is a brute. He said, but he'll teach you some things about ministry that you will not learn anywhere else. And Daniel looked at me and he said, Dad, I'm just afraid of making a bad decision and getting into a bad situation. And I said to him, the same thing I'm saying to you this evening. Zachary, God let Joseph be thrown into prison. And he allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go into the fire. And he allowed Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. And there was no panic in heaven. And Zachary, God uses those places to mold us and prepare us, and to do great things. To this night, to this day, we talk about men like Joseph and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, Hananiah, Zechariah, Mishael. We talk about Daniel in the lion's den, David as he faced Goliath, and we applaud their faith. But nobody wants to go to the lion's den. And Daniel looked at me and he said, Dad, it's one thing to preach that, but it's another thing to live it. And we both laughed. It is another thing to live it. God does not do the same thing in the same way. With Daniel, he shut the mouths of the lions. Peter, he sent an earthquake. And so if you're expecting to go out into the ministry and go out into the world and go out into life, and that God is going to do the same thing in the same way that maybe he's done for Brother Armacross, or maybe done for Preacher Damron, or maybe what he's done for Preacher Bishop, God just doesn't do the same thing in the same way twice. And so as you're facing cancer, and you're facing bankruptcy, and you're facing financial trouble, and you're facing the loss of a child or the death of a loved one, you're facing life's traumatic decisions, may your prayer be, Lord, help me to be a man or woman of faith. And I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're not panicked up in heaven. And I know you've already turned down the furnace. And I know you've already shut the mouths of the lions. So I don't know what you're going to do in my life. But I know it's going to be great. And God, whatever you do, may it bring the ultimate glory and majesty to your name. Because it's not about you. As the young lady said, it is all about him. May my life and your life bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Jeremy and Mandy Pittman are missionaries on the field of Uganda. Just recently, they faced a terrible fire. There was a brush fire out in the bush, and the flames were leaping 12, 15, 20 feet in the air. And it was coming towards the orphanage. They house many orphans there. Uganda is a desperate place, and they feed them, they house them, they educate them. And without those meals, without that protection, without that housing, these children have no place else to go. And the fire was coming. I don't know what you do when you have a fire here, but in Alexandria, Washington, D.C., we have dialed 911, and they send big trucks. And so there they dialed the equivalent of 911. There was a fire, and they sent, for the first 15 minutes, nothing, and then a half an hour later, nothing, and then 45 minutes later, nothing, and then an hour later, finally, A1 fire truck showed up. And it went to the airport, which was next door. It was the third largest airfield in Uganda, and they sat there at the end of the runway to make sure that the fire didn't hurt the airport. On the other side of the fence were the orphans and the orphanage. Brother Pittman, the son of a pastor in Herndon, Virginia, a good man, there with the orphans, with the leaders, with the workers, with the house parents, with large banana leaves, were out there beating back the flames. Their hair was getting singed, and their clothes were starting to turn from the violent heat of the fire. The wind was blowing it right towards the orphanage. Brother Pittman realized that there was no way that the orphans and the leaders were going to stop the fire, that the flames were most certainly going to destroy their buildings. Brother Pittman yelled, "Stop! We cannot defeat the flames. Come." That group of orphans and those leaders, that missionary got away from the flames, and they got down on their face before God. And a bunch of orphans cried up to heaven and said, "God, please save our home. We have nowhere else to go. We have no food to eat. We'll have no housing unless you do something miraculous from heaven." And what do we expect? at that moment, a fleet of B-52s with flame retardant chemical fell over and dropped it on the flame. Right? Isn't that what we want? We want the fire department to show up with brand new fire engines. We want the skies to open up and have paratroopers fall out with firefighting gear. That's what we do here. We don't need the fire department. We have sprinkler systems. Within 5 seconds of praying to the God of heaven, 5 seconds, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, God took the wind and turned it completely around in the other direction and blew the fire back from whence it came. And within 30 minutes, the fire was completely gone. No fuel, no fire. Now you tell me there's not a God in heaven that delights to hear and answer prayer. Our problem is not that we do not have a God in heaven. Our problem is that we are not men and women of faith. I draw your attention to 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 3. And a little girl says, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." That little girl had never seen anybody cured of leprosy, because people didn't get cured of leprosy. God wasn't in heaven saying, "What did she just say? Did she just say that I could cure people of leprosy? Doesn't she know people don't get cured of leprosy? What am I going to do?" God said, "You know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to cure somebody of leprosy." The angel said, "Wow, we've never done that before." "We're doing it tonight." What are you going to have them do? "Sprinkle magic fairy dust on them. Wave a magic wand." "Who's got the magic wand?" "You do." "No." God said, "We're going to have them wash in dirty water." "Dirty water? Yeah. Wouldn't that be neat? I mean, your kids have tried it, to wash in dirty water and be clean." "Sorry, kids, God doesn't do the same thing in the same way twice." But there was a little girl who had been taken from her home. I don't know if you've studied history about what happens to little girls when soldiers take them. It's not pretty. And taken her from her home, from her parents, from her land, and had dropped her into a home of a carnal, wicked people. Yet that girl never lost her faith. She didn't say, "God, why have you forsaken me?" She didn't say, "Why, God, have you put me here?" She said, "Would God, my master, were in Israel. For the God that I serve, he is able to recover that man of his leprosy." May you be people of faith, of a little girl that says, "I don't care if the world's falling apart around me. I don't care if the flames are encroaching upon me. I will believe God." Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? You're here this evening and you're a Christian. There will be no public invitation. We will not ask you to come down front and kneel at an altar. That does not mean that God cannot do a work in your heart this evening. You're here tonight, you're a Christian, maybe an old man or an old lady, a young man, maybe a graduate, maybe a child. still in elementary school. But you want to be like that little girl, a young lady of faith. No matter what happens around you, you are just going to believe God. I want to have a special time of prayer for you. Say, preacher, pray for me. I want to be that person of faith that just believes God. Praise the Lord. Hands in the back and on my left and up above. Father, I thank you for these young people and older people. Some may be a little discouraged along the way, asking you to do something in the same way that you've always done it, not realizing that you do it different every single time. And I pray whatever fire they're facing, whatever trouble and tribulation is going through their life right now, that they would be still and know that you are God. And that the things that are happening in their life would fall out to the glory and honor and majesty of our God. You may put your hands down. Perchance you're here this evening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're like Naaman. You're a great man, a great woman. But you've got a leper problem. You've got a sin problem. We're not going to ask you to come forward. But I would like to remember you in a closing prayer. You say, preacher, that's me tonight. I'm here. I am not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. I'm a Naaman. I've got a sin problem. I've never come to Jesus Christ for Bible salvation. And tonight, God is speaking to my heart. Preacher, would you pray for me? And I will do that. On my left, on my right, is there one? Lift your hand. Hold it for just a moment and let me remember you in prayer. Is there one? Let me say this. In just a few moments, the service will conclude and we will go our separate ways. And you do not have to seek me out. You seek out Pastor Dameron. Seek out one of these graduates, and they will introduce you to the person who has guided and changed their life, Jesus Christ. Father, I do thank you for the privilege of standing before these dear folks here tonight. They've been very gracious for the privilege of standing in Pastor Dameron's pulpit and addressing this great crowd of people. I pray that we would be people of faith, and that our faith would be spoken of for generations to come, yea, throughout all eternity, as these young men and young women launch out and do great things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.